Hey friends, we wanted to take a quick minute and personally invite you to two really special gatherings coming this fall. First, our intentional motherhood retreat in Portland, Oregon, October 15th through the 17th, and then our intentional fatherhood retreat in Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Honestly, these retreats have become so much more than events for us. They've become spaces where people encounter God, experience healing, honesty, friendship, freedom, and real transformation. We live in a world that is full of information. We have podcasts, books, content, advice, but transformation requires more than information. Sometimes you need space, you need community, you need honesty, you need the presence of God, and you need to get around other people who are fighting for the same things you are. At these events, we've watched marriages soften again. We've watched fathers come out of hiding. We've watched mothers breathe deeply again. We've watched people feel seen, known, challenged, and deeply encouraged. And we would genuinely love for you to join us. You can learn more and grab tickets at intentionalparents.org. And for all things fatherhood, you can visit intentionalfatherhood.org. We hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. And thank you so much for everybody who has been leaving comments and rating the podcast. It has been so helpful. And as a reminder, if you haven't had a chance to do that, please rate the podcast or even leave a comment and let us know how this is helping you, because it just is such a blessing to read through these and see how God is using these conversations to help build His kingdom and bless you specifically. And it blesses us. So thank you for that. We want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Today, Phil and Diane and myself are here, and we are excited to share some thoughts about Mother's Day. But we wanted to pause and just say happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are going to be listening to this over this next week. And to start this episode off today, Elizabeth is unfortunately not able to join us today, but we have some fun stories, and I feel like the best way to start today would be with a fun story of what not to do on Mother's Day. And Phil, you were sharing a story earlier that I just couldn't stop laughing about, because it was just such an epic failure. Tell us about
Thank you.
What not to do on Mother's Day. And I think this is going to be a big win for some that might listen. So,
give us a heads up. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Bible does say confess your sins to one another. So here I go. I don't remember when this actually was.
I remember when this was.
When was it?
We were living in Santa Cruz. You were a pastor there.
Oh, yes, so our
and
kids.
And so John Mark would have been about
six or seven.
Yeah. And Rebecca, 4. Elizabeth
was a baby.
About 1 year old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I was a pastor at this church, and it was growing, and we were busy and little kids and all that. And my mom lived, you know, not too far from us. And so it was Mother's Day. And I think I got my mom a card or something, but I got nothing for Diane.
Oh, no.
And it didn't even occur to me, really. And then I saw her. I don't know if you were crying or what. And you said something to me. And I said, well, you're not my mother.
Oh man! That did not go over very well.
That did not go over well. My wife has told me before that I'm a little oblivious. She's an intuitive. I'm not. That was very much not what to do on Mother's Day. Here she is pouring her life out to the point of exhaustion
for your kids,
for our kids. Yeah, my two daughters and my son.
And I'm like expecting this Mother's Day brunch after church or something like that. And we come home and Phil's like, well, what's for dinner?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
thinking, like, this is my sweetheart. She's my bride. Uh-huh. So what not to do for Mother's Day is don't ever say to your wife, oh, I didn't get you any flowers, or I'm not taking you, because you're not my mother. So that's definitely a must not do.
Oh, I love
Okay, and now fast forward several years later, and little Matt, who hadn't been born with that first incident, is 8 years old, and what happened then?
Oh, yes, that's right.
There's this a part. Is like double confess my sins.
I'm going to make him really confess his sins.
I remember this.
Are you mad at me? No, I'm kidding. Oh, yeah, that's another epic fail. Yeah, well, I was, you know, I can make excuses. I was serving with Luis Palau, whom I revere.
Serving the Lord,
he just
right?
went to be with Jesus, and I love that man, and I grieve his passing. I can't wait to see him again. But we were doing a lot of stuff in England, and at this one period of 2 months, we were in... did the whole state of Maine in the United States, immediately followed by a 3-week tour of multiple cities in England. I was gone a ton, and I was, you know, I'd come home for 2 days and then leave for another 9 days. And, you know, I was trying to bring one of my kids with me just to try to, you know, be a good dad the whole time. But anyway, so I took off for England, and because I was gone so much, Diane had gone up to her parents' cabin, this beautiful cabin in the mountains where we used to vacation all the time, and was up there on Mother's Day, and all the cousins were there. And I knew it was Mother's Day. I'm in England, you know, it's 8 hours ahead.
From the last
it's 8 hours ahead.
But, yeah.
So I'm there, you know, it's like nighttime, and I go, I need to call Diane and wish her happy Mother's Day. I thought I was really doing something good. What I didn't know is that what was going on at that time is all the cousins were giving their mother a Mother's Day gift. They all had a wrapped present, and Matthew suddenly, as a 7-year-old, he realizes all of his cousins are giving presents. He has nothing. And he bursts into tears and starts sobbing. Now, I haven't called yet, you know. And then Diane's mom, you know, she was amazing.
She rescued him.
She grabbed something from her closet or something and wrapped it really quick so Matthew could give it to her. And so all this happens, and Diane's embarrassed because all the other moms are getting presents. She's getting nothing. And then she's, you know, I've been gone. And she's like, where's my husband? All of a sudden I call, hi, happy Mother's Day. Oh, that was
not
get received well. And it was, anyway. So
well, you know what,
that was
though?
My second epic fail. If you're going to be gone on Mother's Day, think in advance of how you're going to honor your wife.
Yeah, so the first lesson is do something for your spouse, your wife, on Mother's Day, specifically if you have children, do something for them, and then call your mom, right? And call and set your kids up. Well, I know that was a funny way to start it, and thank you for sharing. It's fun to laugh at your failures.
Yeah, thanks.
But at the same time, we are learning from them, so that's actually helpful too, is to be thoughtful is so important. But on a serious note, you know, Mother's Day is such a great time to reflect on, you know, all of us have a mom, you know, where we've all been given the gift of a mom. And so I know I have a wonderful mom. I still call at least once a week. I know she would prefer that I'd call every day, but I try to explain, Mom, I have my own family now. She understands, but she, you know, I think every mom would love to be, you know, as close as they can be with their kids. Mm-hmm. But it's an important day, and we just wanted to take a moment to honor moms and specifically share some wisdom, insight, our own stories, and things that maybe you can do during this time to make it more special for either your own mom, or if you are a husband and encouraging your wife who has kids. But Phil, why don't you start us off? I know we started picking on you, so it's only appropriate that you would just take us actually to the good part of this conversation today.
Well, I think one of the things that all three of us want to do is we want to say to all the moms who are listening, the moms to be, young moms, older moms, we honor you. Mm-hmm. And the Lord Jesus exalts you, and God the Father sees you and smiles upon you and sees the value and the worth of what you are doing.
Yes.
Unfortunately, in our culture, it's hardly there anymore, the value of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, none of us would be here without a mom.
Yes.
Literally, physically, but just the honor that moms should receive for laying down their lives for their children. And it just breaks my heart that, you know, the generation I was raised in, like, most of the moms were staying home raising kids, and it was honorable and it was considered a profession. Mm-hmm. And then I think now, you know, it's like, well, what else are you going to do? Like, well, that's mm-hmm. great, but what are you going to do with your mm-hmm. life? Oh. And I love that Diane will proud, I'm sure she'll say it in this podcast, is the greatest career she ever mm-hmm. had was raising our kids. And mm-hmm. and I, you know, we like to tell parents the greatest thing you will ever do mm-hmm. is raise your children to follow the way of Jesus, and pouring into them is so special. And the Bible lifts up motherhood. You know, Proverbs 31 is the classic passage. Most followers of Jesus have read it multiple times. And I read Proverbs every month. And so any month that has 31 days, I read mm-hmm. Proverbs 31. And an excellent wife, or who can find? Like, they're yeah. hard to find. But when you find one, her worth is far more than jewels. Mm. And so God says she is valuable. Mm. And that phrase, an excellent wife is a woman of virtue, of character, of noble character. And there's all kinds of stuff in that passage. I mean, she's a hard worker and she smiles at the future, but it says the heart of her husband trusts in her, mm-hmm. for she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And I love how it ends. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. You know, I mean, yeah. these bodies aren't made for eternity. So mm-hmm. I'm blessed that my wife is, she's gorgeous. She was gorgeous when I met her and she's beautiful now. And I love that about her. But it's the inner beauty on top of that, the mm-hmm. character that flows from her mm-hmm. that makes her such a blessing, not only to me and to our kids and to our grandkids, but to, you know, all the people that just want to be mm-hmm. around her. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her children will rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many have done nobly, but you excel them yeah. all. And I just love that. It's just honor mm-hmm. is given there. The children rise up and bless her, and her husband also mm-hmm. praises her. And to the dads that are listening to this, this is how we should treat our wives who are mothers, and giving them the honor that they deserve and the thanksgiving, and teach our children to do the same. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's command. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Honor your father and your mother. And mm-hmm. so I think on Mother's Day, man, yeah. honor. We need to honor our moms, and then those of us who are married and our wives, our mothers, we need to honor them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking through being a mom, you know, as I'm so close to Elizabeth, you know, I'm a dad, and I would argue probably pretty involved dad.
Mm-hmm. You are.
And, and that's not to pat myself on the back, but to say, like, even in my involvedness, she still has such a greater load than I ever could mm-hmm. imagine. And being a mom, even if you have someone, have a partner who's with you and in it with you, there's still this load that mm-hmm. only a mom can really yeah. have and bears. Yeah. And she's the one sitting up at night being like, how are we going to educate our kids? And mm-hmm. maybe we need to feed them differently so they have the best disposition for their attitudes to like be in mm-hmm. line, to be able to learn and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like sleeping hours ago. And she's the one that's like always thinking through how can we do this better and help give them the best leg up. And of course I'm for that, but I'm not mm-hmm. about to lose sleep over that. Like, and of course I care about those things, and those things matter deeply to me, but like there's this beautiful thing that moms have. And I think what you said, Phil, to honor motherhood, it is such an honorable thing to take the time to pour into your children, to give the best years of your life to your kids. Mm-hmm. And it's no easy task. I mean, mm-hmm. it is the most yeah. challenging thing. I watch it every day. Yeah. It is the most challenging and thankless oftentimes mm-hmm. Situation. But I mean, God sees those things. Your kids experience those things. I mean, to think about, I'm just thinking about all the people that I know, even Elizabeth, she is the fruit of all your hard mm-hmm. work in the ways that Diane, where you never actually, you were doing all this thankless work pouring into her. And now I, as her husband, years later, get to reap those benefits yeah. from all that hard work mm-hmm. from a long time ago. I was telling Phil today, we went to lunch and I was joking about something. And I was like, man, it is just so much. We were talking about some situation, and I had some friend that was having some struggles with his spouse, and he was sharing with me. And I was just thinking, Phil, and I was kind of like saying, it's just so much easier to be married to my wife. Like, it's just so much easier to be married to Elizabeth because I just don't have to even think about that stuff. Like, she's like totally gets it and understands it. And he pats me on the back. He's like, "You're welcome."
I said, "You're welcome." And I said,
"Thank you." Like, thank you. Cause like, those are things that, you know, they're gifts to your future children's spouse and all that. But anyway, I just want to say it is such an honorable thing to be a mom, and that cultural thing that's going on. Like, what are you doing with your life? I hear that all the time. Like, what's the thing you're going to do for money? Like, are you kidding? The most important thing you can do is such a gift. But yeah, I'd be curious, Diane, what's kind of your perspective on Mother's Day? And, you know, obviously you've been a mom in the trenches, and now you're a mom of adult children and now grandkids, and it's very different for you now than it was then. But what's your take on Mother's Day and motherhood? And
well, first of all, I want to say, you say it's a thankless job, but I want to say that's not completely true.
Okay.
Your children really thank you in many ways every single day. When they're little, in their hugs and their loves, and you get to shape a human being. So yes, you're all in. It takes everything that a woman has, all of her intelligence, her creativity, her imagination, her patience, her strength, her wisdom. But at the same time, you are getting to partner with God to actually shape a person who is going to have influence on the next generation, far outliving your influence. So that right there is pretty incredible. It's like being handed the most important job in the world when you're, what? I was 21 I had John Mark, not mature at all. And But I think I would have to say, of everything I've ever done in my life, by far, I mean, nothing even compares to what I believe is the impact I was able to have, I'm still able to have through my raising my children. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing starting out. I wasn't all that emotionally mature. I was a fairly new Christian. And yet God is just so amazing, the way he'll give you the wisdom when you need it and you're crying out for it. And and kids are so amazingly resilient. You try all these things, you know, the latest article that you just read about discipline, and think, oh gosh, epic failure. And they forget, you know. So yes, I can see where a man may be considered a thankless job, but I mean, I feel like my children thank me every day by living honorable lives, and they thank me by loving Jesus. They thank me by loving their wives. And now Elizabeth thanks me every time she's taking care of children and she's exhausted and doesn't want to do it anymore, and she gets up to do it again. So I think it's a job that comes back with immense, immense rewards. I would say, you know, I made so many mistakes as a mom and was so often ashamed and lived with it, with guilt on my shoulders that I wasn't perfect. And I had said I was never going to get mad at my kids. I was never going to yell at and raise my voice at my kids. And of course I did. And for moms carrying around that shame, I don't think I've met a mom who thinks she's doing it, honestly thinks she's doing a good job, which is really a shame, because now you get to the other side of things and your kids think, well, you really loved me well, mom. Kids need to be loved and nurtured, comforted and cared for, guided, and need a mom who is all in with them. And then they're able to forgive so many mistakes that she makes along the way.
So as you're talking, the one thing that's coming to my mind is the idea, you know, there's the young mom that's listening right now who has the little kids. She's in the trenches, right? But that woman also has a mom, right? And I'd love to talk to the adult child that's listening, right? The mom that is maybe mid-20s, 30s, 40s, excuse me, in there, and who has a mom. And I want to talk about this idea really quick of honoring your mom on Mother's Day.
Okay.
And the reason I want to talk about that is primarily because as life goes on, we collect wounds, and some situations, some daughters that are listening right now are probably going to have a very intense response, a negative response even, to the idea of like honoring their mom on Mother's Day, maybe because there is hurt or unforgiven sin, or who knows, the gamut is very long. But just thinking through that idea of honor, biblical honor doesn't mean obedience, right?
No,
like,
no.
Obviously, when you're young,
yes,
obey your parents, right? Honor, it does look like obedience. Mm-hmm. But when you're an adult child, it doesn't look like obeying everything that mm-hmm. your parents want you to do, because that doesn't make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. But you can honor your parents without obeying everything or following all their wishes or mm-hmm. the things that they wish they had for you. So that's a, I want to say that. But what are some ways as now, you know, I know I'm an adult child as well, but like, what are some of the ways in which we can honor our earthly mothers, even if there is wounds and pain, mm-hmm. and even if there is maybe a whole part of your childhood that you just wish didn't happen, yeah. Or even there's still undealt with frustration or hurt or pain, how do we still do what the Bible talks about mm-hmm. honoring our parents, mm-hmm. even in the midst of that?
Well, Brooke, you know my story. None of us in my family came to know or had even really heard very much about Jesus until I was in high school. And my mom in particular had been raised in a very dysfunctional home with a dad with severe anger issues, abusive anger issues. And to her shame and regret, she brought those into our family as well. Didn't know how to deal with it, those feelings that would rise up in her from her own hurts. And so consequently, as a young child, especially until my mom gave her life to the Lord when I was about 15, about the same time I came to know the Lord. As a young child, there were times that were so confusing. She would be this an amazing mom who would just made most of my clothes, homemade meal every single night, table set by the time dad got home, homemade cookies. By the time I was in high school, I would barter, you know, with others, because my mom's homemade cookies were in every single lunch of mine were so famous that I'd trade them for one cookie for like two Fig Newtons and two Oreos, you know. I mean, on the one hand, there was just all this giving, giving, giving. On the other hand, not knowing what to do with her own anger and rage, there were times of I couldn't understand what had triggered this rage, I guess mm-hmm. is the best way to say it. I didn't understand, and which made me very fearful. Like, well, I don't know what I do wrong that makes her, you know, explode and then dump everything I've ever done wrong. And because we weren't raised in a Christian home, she then didn't know how to clean up after the mess. Mm-hmm. So she didn't know how to apologize or say it wasn't your fault. Mm. So it was very confusing for me as a child, and lots and lots and lots of pictures in my mind that would come up even through early adulthood until I was about 50 and went in and realized I needed to see
Did
a
you
counselor.
Say 50.
50.
50. So
I mean,
it's
it took
just
me
like
that long to figure out, you know what, I'm having some strange reactions in my life that don't make sense. So I went in to see a counselor, and really this counselor helped me to see that I still needed to forgive my mom.
Wow.
And that there were some real legitimate issues. And the verse that I just really love is Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." Mm. And I realized that there were, instead of looking at each of these situations and these memories and pictures and taking each one to the foot of the cross and forgiving my mom, they were just stuffed down inside of me. And so I overreact to Phil, overreact to others, overreact to criticism, because I felt so criticized and shamed. Mm. And the process of doing that healed so much. Mm. Then my mom became a Christian, when I was 15. And that was my first sense of the Holy Spirit really being able to change somebody. She really changed. She really changed. Sat me down when I was 17 and asked my forgiveness for her anger, and said these beautiful healing words. She said, "Di, it's not your fault." Hmm. It just took a load off. But yet it still took me 17 to 50 to actually believe it wasn't my fault.
Wow.
Always thought if only I could do better, I could appease her. And then, you know, some of those habits, that isn't a generation that got counseling or went mm-hmm. for help.
Yeah.
Some of those habits still, even into adulthood, were hard for her to control. Hmm. But then when she was dying, we brought her into our home for the last 4 months of her life. And God just did an amazing, miraculous healing of me as I actually did what the scripture said. Hmm. And I actually forgave her because I'm forgiven.
Wow.
Not because she deserved it. Not because she ever apologized. After she apologized when I was 17, it was never talked about again. So didn't get that chance to go relive it and say, what did you mean when you said that? You know, I remember being in sixth grade and mini skirts were in style and her, and I, so I snuck my skirt up as I walked to the school bus and she caught me. She saw me out the window and called me a slut.
Oh.
And I just carried that word with me all through high school and dating. Oh, wow. Is my mom thinks I'm a slut.
Oh, wow.
And I never got the chance to be able to say, what did you mean when you, what was the story behind that? I was just a little girl.
Oh.
So I was able to, when she was with us and she was losing her memory and her filters at the same time.
Yeah.
And saying anything that came to mind.
I remember that. Yes. We had some fun conversations.
Yes. And it was, you know, it wasn't pretty. And every day it seemed like God was giving me this verse, you know, about being kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. It's like every day was a new memory to forgive, a new, you know, things said to be forgiven. But the healing that took place, I could be going to counseling for the rest of my life and not get the kind of absolute Holy Spirit healing that I got in those 4 months of caring for my mother as she died. And right a week before she was incapacitated by a stroke, she threw her arms around me and squeezed me super tight. And she was not real demonstrative. And said, Di, I see what you're doing for me, and I love you. And it was probably one of the last coherent sentences she said to me.
Wow.
So I just want to give you hope. Some of you who've been wounded by your moms, you know, forgiveness is a lot of work. It takes dredging up those memories because you can't just do a blanket forgiveness like I thought. You have to go back through those stories and you have to look at them in the eye and say, I forgive her because I've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. And yes. Each one of those needs to be forgiven that comes to your mind, that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. And then he can replace so many of those memories. Now I look back at my childhood and I think of all the good she did and all the kindnesses that she showed me.
Yes.
Because the forgiveness is complete in Jesus. So, I mean, I still come to a Mother's Day and I think, but now I think back, instead of the hurtful things, I think of the cookies she made me. And, you know, she gave me all her cookie recipes and I would make this exact same recipe and it didn't turn out anything near as good as what she had the magic specialty with cookies.
You know, the thing that I'm hearing you say is this starts with forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know,
it does.
One of the ways we honor our parents is, I think, we all are going to have wounds. It starts with forgiveness. And how can you really honestly appreciate your parents for who they are, what they gave you, what they couldn't give you, until forgiveness? And a similar story with my own dad and my mom as well, in the sense of it wasn't until I was able to really forgive in a deep way, sincerely, before the Lord, and then also forgive to their face and to my dad's face as well, that I was able to unlock and actually see things clearly. No, he actually gave a ton of good. There was a ton of stuff he couldn't give me because he never got given that at all. So why would I hold him to such a high standard of something he was never given?
Yes.
And it helped me appreciate the moments of what he did and give and the good and the bad.
Yeah.
So I think it starts, honoring your parents starts with forgiveness. Yeah. I think one of the tangible things to the adult children listening that I'm hearing you say, Diane, and I also just have had to learn the hard way over time is we can all find something to be incredibly thankful for with our parents.
Yes, we can.
And if you haven't forgiven, it's like a stone wall. It's going to be so hard to find everything. So I think it starts with forgiveness. But then I think it looks like reaching out, and whether that's a phone call, if you don't have that close of a relationship, I know voice memos are great. Phil, you love voice memos now.
You taught me how to do it, and it's my new favorite thing.
Yeah, I love it.
It's way more personal.
It's way more personal. You can hear tone. And the only reason I say text, like a voice memo over a text, is primarily because of tone. You can hear the tone and the warmth in someone's voice. But I think even just taking a minute, and even on Mother's Day, at some point throughout the day, just pick three things that you're thankful for and relay that to your mom in a way that is just, it can be concise. It doesn't have to be over the top. It can be super ushy-gushy. It could also just be really practical and just, I'm thankful for these three things that you did. Make them specific. The more specific, the more, you know, obviously.
The homemade cookies that you put in my lunch every day.
Exactly. Yeah. Those things make it more real and more authentic. But
because, you know, being older here, and of course I had an amazing mom.
I was going to say,
yeah. I mean, I had like, Diane doesn't, she says, I shouldn't say this, but I had the perfect childhood. I had the perfect parents. But anyway, but my mom's with the Lord and I can't call her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great reminder.
And I get teary about it, but like, you know, to be able to pick up the phone and call your mom, especially if you have a great mom, that's a privilege.
Yeah.
And so don't take it for granted. You know, that's now there's times we say, gosh, do you remember? No, I don't remember. And we can't ask mom, you know, so it's like, so just, just treasure.
And you know, what you mother-in-laws do as well. So I was still in a shaky relationship with my mom when I married Phil, and I got this mother-in-law. I mean, like, like, I don't even want to tell you too much about how it's, because she was so amazing. Everybody will be jealous. But she loved me really well. And I feel like she, more than anybody, really showed me how to be a mom.
Yeah.
And how to love well without being critical, without being harsh, and without using anger. And she just listened and loved me so well. So, and then I would also say, I have this incredible gift. Those of you who have mother-in-laws, I need to tell you about Tammy and Simona, my two daughter-in-laws, who are like, I don't even like to add in-law to it. They're like my daughters. And, you know, and it's because they have a secure relationship with their own mom, and they just love me so well. Right from the beginning, when they married my sons, I felt like both of them made extra effort to include me in their lives. So, you know, you give your life to this baby boy.
Yeah.
And you go,
and some
you
woman
go through every step. And then you have to release them. You know, there all needs to be one woman in their life. They don't tell mom the stories. They tell that woman. I wanted my kids to have good marriages, wanted to let go in a good way. But both Tammy and Simona are really my bridge to my sons and have opened their hearts to me like real daughters. That is a rare gift.
Yeah.
Really rare gift. Well, and many daughter-in-laws kind of sort of compete or begrudge, and mother-in-laws are always trying to kind of keep correcting.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Well, and Steve, it's funny because Steve, Rebecca's husband, I mean, what, it's so funny because I was talking to Duke the other day about this. Because John Mark and myself and Steve and Matthew, we love to, we genuinely love spending time together. And we get, we have different moments.
You're like brothers.
Yeah, we're brothers. Like, we have different moments on the calendar every year that we all get together and just debrief about the deepest parts of our life. And, you know, I think there's something that's beautiful there that you guys have prayed into over the years and created a culture of that. But I mean, there's not lines with our relationship. It just feels like we are all, Matthew checks in with me just like my own brother checks in with me, just like, you know, anyone else. And I think there's a beauty of family there that you guys have also done a great job of setting up. And I think if you are listening, or, you know, if you've had a family that's given that gift or prayed that in, I think there's such an ease, like you're helping that by setting up the family the way that you did in the sense of praying that in, being open, being humble, like you're creating a culture where it's okay for Tammy and it's okay for Simona to come in and just love you right where you're at, and to be close and to not really have those like in-law lines. Yes. It's like, no, we're all, we're all together. We're all family. Yeah. It's beautiful.
You know, I've noticed in life, we learn more from in the hard times than in the easy times, and more from our mistakes than our successes. And the beautiful thing is, especially to you, the young moms that are listening and the young dads, even if you didn't have the dream mother or the dream father, but now you're walking with Jesus, you can give your kids something your mm-hmm. parents weren't able to give yep. you, and mm-hmm. you can start creating this kind of family
mm-hmm. yeah.
that is then going to pass on this kind of life that yes. we're talking about mm-hmm. because it's available to anyone mm-hmm. who chooses to immerse themselves in the Word of God and yes. follow the way of Jesus and mm-hmm. let the Holy Spirit change you from the inside out and make you more like the Son of God yes. in the way you think and work and live, and you can just pass such a huge blessing onto your kids. And, yes. you know, there's one of the pastors at our church. He didn't grow up with a good father at all, and yet he's one of the best fathers in our church. And I, every time I see him, I said, "You are such a good father." I said, "I had a good father, so it better yeah. be expected of me to be a good father because I know what that looks like."
Yeah.
And it's almost intuitive to me because of the dad I had. But mm-hmm. for a man who didn't have that to then turn around and then start mm-hmm. a whole new line, man, I really respect that. Mm-hmm. I really
do. It's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard. Well, you know, I was just thinking, Diane, you know, as you've gotten older, you are in a stage now where you're not in the trenches. So what has been your new approach in this stage of life to Mother's Day?
To Mother's Day. Okay, so I said to both of my sons and my sons-in-laws who have kids, I've had all the Mother's Day gifts and cards and breakfast in bed, and you know, except for maybe one or two.
except for my two epic fails.
Yes,
you did get a breakfast in bed, didn't you? At least once.
I'm sure I did. I love breakfast in bed. I've had all those benefits. Now it's your wife's turn. It's Elizabeth's turn, Brooke. Yeah, yeah. She's in the trenches. I'm like the retired Air Force colonel or something. You know what I mean? I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not flying the airplane anymore.
Yeah.
But your wife is flying the airplane and she needs to be honored. So don't worry about me. And you know what's so funny is my sons still make sure, John Mark will at least make sure that I have flowers and he'll set up a date for us to go out and have coffee or something. Matthew's already set up a date for next week for us to go out and do something. So, you know, they still come back, but I want them to honor their wives. It's it's when you're in the middle of what, Brooke, you said, and it's partly true, is a thankless job. Yeah. That's when a day set aside to really honor and remember and tell your mom all those things she needs to hear. That's when it's really important.
Yeah. I'm thinking through the, you know, it's so funny, you know, if you're a dad listening or, you know, if you're listening, you need to give your husband ideas. It's so funny because like right now, the biggest gift for Elizabeth is actually to just be away from all of us.
Yes.
So happy Mother's Day. We're leaving. Or guess what? You're going away by yourself or something. So literally like we have this now like thing. Yeah. It's become a thing. And she doesn't expect it ever, but she always loves it when it comes. And basically right around the weekend around Mother's Day, like on Friday, and I just did it again this week of like, okay, well, Friday comes, you're going away to a hotel for a night by yourself. You're just, and she loves it. She's just like, she reads, she just has
true
time to
introvert.
Walk and reflect. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because some people listening are like, you guys have the worst marriage. What are you sending them away? But like, no, for us, like, it is her love language. She's an introvert. Yes. She needs the space. And I'm using that silly example just to say, it doesn't always matter what it is. I think it's being specific to what that person really loves, you know?
Yes.
And to will the good of the other. And even though it probably doesn't make sense to a lot of people, for us, we stumbled upon this reality that, you know, whenever Elizabeth can just take a night away in town, she's in town. She doesn't go, you know, crazy far, but just to have that time away, a whole night to just sleep as long as she needs to reflect, like she comes back so much happier. So I think everyone's going to have their thing, but find that out. And I think give your spouse that gift if you can.
That's great. You know, I don't know when we started doing this, but when we moved to Oregon, both my parents and Diane's parents were still in California, and her parents moved to this beautiful place up in the mountains, and they were retired. And they missed Diane, but, you know, her sister and her brother lived closer to them. They got to see them all the time, but not Diane. But, you know, Diane was pouring her life out in ministry and loving her kids. And then so we started this thing where we would fly you down to Sacramento for a mom's break.
Yep, mom's break.
Yeah, and her dad would drive down from the mountains to pick her up. And, he was excited because he gets to see his daughter. And then they would just pamper her.
Yes,
bring her
it
up
was
there,
just
and
amazing.
Her dad knew that her favorite meal was his barbecued chicken, and he would burn a few pieces for her. And her mom would run her bath, turn the heating blanket on her bed and turn it down, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And he'd be there like for 3 days, maybe.
Usually like three nights. 4 days. And they were pouring into me.
Yeah.
So much love and generosity. Mom and I would go do something fun, and Dad would always take me on a really great hike that he had planned, all day hike. And I would come back home to my family so full and just spilling over onto, anxious to get home, like to be able to pour back on my family.
Yeah. So that's just, those are just a couple.
That's a great,
ideas.
But I think what I hear you saying though, I think is important is being thoughtful to do something. Like, I think that what the takeaway is, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but I think it needs to be thoughtful. And what is it that's going to be a gift to that person? Yeah. Biblical love is to will the good of the other.
Yes.
So what is something that's going to will their good and their health? And I know in a mom, you know, I know for us in this season, just time to have a break is one of the things that communicates beyond any sort of words or any sort of card. It just, like, it's a way for Elizabeth to be recharged in a way that she can only be recharged. And so,
But don't discount words and cards. I've saved every Mother's Day card for years that write out something that's actually a message to me.
Sure.
And I read those and reread those. And
reminder.
I do just unashamedly just cherish their words.
Yeah. But, you know, but what mom is there who isn't exhausted?
So
because
true.
Like I like to hear Diane says, the problem with parenting is it's so daily. Like, it's like there's no breaks, right?
No.
So if there is a way you can give your wife a couple days like you're doing, Brooke, in a situation where she can rest.
It's just ideal.
And do whatever it is that's life-giving. Yeah. I know for Elizabeth, it's going on a run. You know, it's like,
why don't you rest by running?
Thing, you know, it's acknowledging their hard work. It's it's part of the rising up and blessing them.
Mm-hmm.
Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her.
Yeah.
Saying,
you know. Well, one of the things you just said that I think is important, that I think is good to remind, that's just coming to my mind now. I can't remember where we picked it up. It wasn't my idea, so I can't take credit, but I'll say, but I will tell you that we do it. And is on our Sabbath nights, our Sabbath dinner, which is Friday, we all sit down and we have dinner right now as charcuterie boards because our kids love those and they're really easy to make and everybody gets to pick stuff and they love the interactive nature of it. But we usually take a minute to praise mom, like thank mom for specifics of that week and what we've really been thankful for that mom's contributed.
I love that.
And it was a again, not my idea. But
no, it's totally biblical.
But
children rise, you're doing a biblical thing.
That's what I'm trying. Yeah, the proverb of that idea of like, taking a minute to say, hey guys, how we, and I always lead it, initiate it. Hey, what are some kind things we can say about mom this week? How's mom specifically helped you? Mom put all this together, you know, all this kind of stuff, and just taking a minute, and all the kids have to, they don't even get a choice. They have to, you know, say something that's been specifically impactful for them this week with mom. And I think that's just a natural little rhythm that we've found that just helps us not forget, because it's really easy in the rhythm of life and the busyness to like become completely distracted. And so that's just one little like nugget that we've
like
used
that
has been helpful.
Nugget. That's a gold nugget. I wish I'd known that. So you're teaching me, but it's too late for me. No, whatever.
You're still alive,
Phil. I can still bless you, but I mean, that's a beautiful thing,
it
Brooke.
Well, it wasn't my idea.
It's Proverbs 31 in life, you know?
Yeah.
Biblical help, practical help, right? Like you're doing it too. You're modeling it for your kids, her husband also, and he praises her.
Yeah.
So you're doing it and you're showing your kids how to show gratitude. You're actually modeling for them how to honor their mother.
Yeah.
But what a great thing. That's, man, we ought to.
Well, selfishly, I just do it. So then, because Elizabeth always goes, and guys, what are you thankful for about dad? I'm just kidding. And they'll have really thoughtful things to say about Elizabeth. But when it comes to me, you'll be like, dad's really nice. And I'm like, okay, guys, come on.
Do you do the big cookie like John Mark's family does or no?
They got that from us.
Oh, they got that from you.
Tell them about that.
That's a cool tradition, too.
That's a fun tradition. Well, we haven't done it for a while because basically our kids are just allergic to everything. But when their systems have calmed down a little, we just take a we make a cookie dough recipe or like a chocolate chip cookie recipe. Mm-hmm. And then you basically take a, what are they called? Why am I blanking? A skillet. Yeah, like a
cast iron skillet.
There you go. Cast iron skillet. And you put all of the cookie dough in the cast iron skillet, put it in the oven. And then, you know, like 15 or 20 minutes before you eat it. And then we just take it out and put it in the middle of the table.
Oh, gosh.
Put a big, you know, half pint of ice cream next to it.
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Usually vanilla. And everyone has a spoon. There's no plates or bowls. There's just, it's not COVID friendly at all. Everyone takes a spoon and just goes to town. And, you know, a lot of fun conversations happen when your kids have ice cream and sugar. all these things start coming out that you wouldn't expect. But that's something that, we've definitely done in different seasons.
Building a memory, too.
Yeah, it's been, those little things go a long way. And
they do.
Right now, I know Scarlett, she loves baking. Like, it's become problematic how much she loves baking, like the amounts of ingredients and then all of a sudden all this food around our house. But she literally the other day, she's like, I really wanted to get this skateboard. And so Elizabeth threw out the idea, like, you love cooking, why don't you do this bake sale? And so I expected she's gonna sell a couple, like a couple, you know, batches of cookies, get 5, 10, 20 bucks or whatever. And she, no joke, in like a day has sold more than 10 or 15 like orders, which has accumulated more than 120 or 30 bucks. And I'm like, well, she's starting a little cooking business on the side. So I'm excited for her.
She sold me.
Yeah,
she sold me some.
I know. You gave her a $20 tip.
Well, she's my granddaughter. I said, I'll buy a dozen for 10 bucks, but I'm going to tip you 20 because you're my granddaughter.
You're a great pops. And that's, you were on speakerphone when she made the call. And you're saying, you know, I'm going to buy the $10 one, but I'm going to tip you 20 bucks. And her mind, like, you could just see her mind. She's like, that doesn't even make sense. Well, like,
it was the best part of my day when she called me.
Oh, like, yeah. Did she leave you a message, right?
Oh, yeah. And I played it for Diane. It was the best part of my day.
Did she leave you a voice memo? Was it like she
No, she actually called and I didn't pick up for some reason. And I caught it later. I thought it was Elizabeth because it didn't say Scarlett.
Oh, yeah, because it was
Elizabeth's phone. And hi, Pops, it's Scarlett. And then she goes, she was just so funny, like, well, yeah, but I'm gonna wear gloves for the ones that maybe I'll sell at the park. But you know, I don't think you need me to wear gloves because, like, I mean, we're relatives. I mean, we're family. You know, it was the cutest.
Yeah, she's,
I mean, I would have given her $100 by the time the voicemail was over.
I know.
This is not a thankless job being a parent. You know, they come, rise up and bless you, and then their kids rise up and bless you in just such amazing ways.
Yeah. Yes, they do. But I think that takes intentionality.
It does.
And it takes, you know, you guys are intentional grandparents and you're in their lives and you make time to be in their lives. And that takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. That takes you saying no to other things. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't just come naturally, but I do agree that it doesn't take a ton of effort to have a long lasting relationship.
You know, because we've really seen far worse since COVID hit, but even before COVID, we were noticing that people in general are in deficit of encouragement. They're just going around with these empty bank accounts that need to be filled with encouragement. All it really takes is a grandparent or a parent seeing your child, seeing Scarlett and her desire to make things and to say, Scarlett, you are a maker. You're made in the image of the Creator God. And look at how you bless people by your baking. Yeah. And now maybe you wish we hadn't been quite so encouraging. But, you know, that's all it takes. Everybody I know is just dying to be encouraged and to be seen and to be noticed and called out and known. Mm-hmm. And that is the greatest gift we can give to our mothers and the greatest gift that mothers can give to their children.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram @intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes if you enjoyed today's episode and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.